995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McClain.
We're proud of this guy, aren't we? He's serving God, David serving God. We thank God for their life and witness. Share with us what happened.
Praise the Lord. This week, I went to camp, and it was at church camp, and I have a praise report. And it all started when I started to talk to people. You know, you go to camp, you meet people from different churches, you make friends. And one of them, his name is Jaden, and he told me, this was like late at night, at like 1 or 2 in the morning, because we don't go to bed like until like probably 2, 3 in the morning. This is right before I went to bed. And we're just talking and telling me the church that he's from and, you know, telling me what it's like because he lives on the west side of Florida. And he asked me if I wanted him to tell him his testimony, and I was like, sure. And he told me that when he was 13, he was on a boat with his friend, and he fell off the boat, and the propeller blade from the boat hit him in the head, like it went deep in his head. And he said that he passed out before the blade hit his head, and so he didn't feel any pain. And he said that he woke up in the hospital, and he was paralyzed. And before that, he was in a vegetative state. And he said, I asked him how long. He said it felt like an eternity. But he woke up, and he was paralyzed. And he had to learn how to walk, how to move. He had to gain back his motor skills. He showed me all the scars on his hand and on his legs. And he was just going into detail and talking about how he's thankful for his mother, because his mother was really the one who kept him alive and made sure that all his needs were met. And he told me about how he has a prosthetic like skull, because they had to take it out, and he had a cap on his head, and he was just going into detail. But while he was talking to me about this, I was just really thinking about when you see people go to worship and praise God and see how they're excited, you don't know why they're praising. You don't know their story. You don't know what God has brought them through. And he was in tears, by the way, telling me this, because he says it's hard for him to tell the story because he has, you know, problems with his speech because of his brain injury. And there's other complications that come with that. And I told him that his testimony is very powerful. And like, it serves as a reminder that even on my worst day, that is nothing compared to what some other people have gone through. And while I was there, I was worshiping, I was praising God. I felt like God, you know, a lot of the messages that the preachers, because there's different speakers, came and told us, some of them were missionaries. They were speaking to us about being bold for Jesus and being the catalyst in our generation to spread the word of God. And one of the statistics that one of the pastors, because he's also a pastor, shared to us that over 70% of people in the United States claim to be Christians. And of those 70%, only 20% of those people constantly go to church on a consistent basis. And he said that of the 20-something percent of non-Christians in America, I think he said 80% of them are willing to go to church if they are invited. So that just goes to show that people have an open heart. Mm-hmm. Not all people that aren't Christians are bitter towards God. They know. Even my father was talking about it. We had a conversation that every human was made in God's image to praise the Lord. And we all have a void in our lives that we fill with the Lord, or we may use another worldly substance to fill that with. And people have realized that these worldly things, they don't last. And people are trying to look to something that can last. And if you can be the catalyst, if you can be the person that doesn't go with the crowd and says, hey, I follow God, you can be an example, even a silent example to other people and lead them to Christ. So that's my praise report. And this week has been very powerful for me. Awesome. I'm very thankful that I spent this week at camp.
Awesome. That is a great report. Great report. Luke chapter 5. I want you to go fishing with me for a few minutes this morning. Now, I meant to bring a fishing pole, but I didn't bring a fishing pole. I was going to ask Jose to bring a boat. And so maybe between the two, we could go fishing. But I want to take you fishing with me this morning. in a couple of the passages of Scripture that talks about the disciples, when Jesus showed up and had a word for them in regards to their time fishing. Now, they were professional fishermen. We know that Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen. They understood the Sea of Galilee, which is not like an ocean. It's actually a very large lake. It is quite deep, and it can have very violent storms on it as well. And we have some of those accounts from the Scriptures. And there still is a lot of fishing that goes on. The water is very pure. It's fed from Mount Hermon's, one of the northern feed that is a part of the Galilee. And it's a beautiful lake. And so this is where this fishing took place. My wife and I, some years ago, we were on one of our tours to Israel, and they had found one of the early fishing boats that went back, I believe it was dated a couple thousand years old. And so they were endeavoring to preserve this so that there could be a museum of sorts to go and see exactly what these boats would look like. But of course, these boats were handmade, they're wood boats, and when you think about it, the disciples could all get into one of these boats, and we know Jesus was even sleeping with all the disciples in the boat, so these boats were large enough for 13 people, and they also could carry nets and could carry a great deal of fish. So here we are, Luke chapter 5, let's start reading with verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, "Push out into the water." So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. So that's kind of like the first phase. The boat's on the seashore. Jesus steps into it, and they didn't have amplifiers, loudspeakers, microphones, and all of that. But the Galilee area, the sea is sort of like a bowl. And so the people who would be on the hillside could hear. In fact, sitting in the Galilee early morning devotions and seeing one single boat that was heading out into the Galilee, I could hear the radio playing in the boat and could understand what was being said, and the boat was way out in the middle of the sea, and I was way up on the mountainside, so they were able to hear, but getting into the boat, moving into the water, amplified that ability. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper, and let down your nets, and you will catch many fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, we'll try again." I believe the King James says something like this: at your word. You give us your word, and at your word, we will drop the nets again. And that is the message. If you say so, or at your word, you speak it, we're going to receive it. And I want to put some focus on the word again. They'd been fishing all night. Anyone here ever fished all night? Some of you, maybe a few fishermen fished all night. Think about having fished all night, caught nothing that was of any value. In the morning, you're cleaning up your gear, which is what they were doing. And then sitting through a church service after, a ministry time, Jesus is teaching. And then following that, getting a word to go out and cast their nets again. Last week, we were looking at Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we were talking about Isaac having to open up the wells that his father had dug. Why is that? Because once Abraham had died, and Isaac now, he has a lot of herds, he's wealthy, Abraham was wealthy, and he needs a lot of water to take care of his livestock. And so those that were from the community, from that area and from that nation, they were jealous. And they began to shut off the water supply to Isaac. And so all of these wells that his dad had dug, and water, if you don't have water and you're in Israel, you cannot grow your crops. I mean, water was a huge thing. It still is a huge thing in Israel. It's a huge thing here if you don't have water. So water was imperative, and to have life, you had to have water. And so the wells had been closed off. They'd been filled back in again. And Isaac realized that we need to redig. We need to open these wells back up. And so he began doing that. And he ended up opening up all the wells. We looked at that. And then he also dug additional wells, and they ended up coming to the place where all of the neighbors had plenty of water, plus Isaac had water for his own cattle and his own personal needs. And we were looking at that situation where there are times throughout our life where we have wonderful mountaintop experiences with God. Some of it, I trust, came from your family. Some of you had a godly mom, godly dad, maybe godly grandparents. And maybe you look back at that and realize that a lot of prayer went up over you before you were ever even born. Prayer was going up over your life before you were old enough to make decisions. And that's a wonderful heritage if you have that kind of a heritage. Some of you don't have that kind of a heritage. Some of you have come to the Lord later in life. Some of you are still coming. And so if you have that kind of a heritage in your life, I believe it's profitable to look at Isaac and think about what kind of a foundation did God give me before I ever even came into this world? Who was praying for me? What took place? And what was their vision for our family? And what did God put on mom or dad's heart to see accomplished through us? Well, that's exactly what Isaac did. Isaac went back and he went to those very places where God had met and provided for his father. And he said, we're going to open up these springs of blessings again. So last week we talked about that some and how many times if you have had a time with God where God has shown up, the enemy's going to try to steal what God has spoken into your life. If you've received a healing, the enemy is going to come and try to defeat you with symptoms and will try to discourage you and will try to cause you to fall into a place where you lose all of your faith and you end up having an attack of fear. And I know I've experienced this. How many of you experienced this before? That the enemy will try to steal from you. And we know in the parable of the sower that one of the conditions of the seed falls, but the enemy wants to choke that seed with thorns and thistles and cares of life and cause circumstances in our life to raise questions about who God is in our lives. And so last week the admonition is we just need to keep digging until we get the breakthrough that we need in our life. We may have family members we're praying for, we're believing for. They need to come to God or they need to return to God. We need to keep praying and believing God for that. You may have a physical condition or a relational condition or a financial condition. And it's not like a one trip does it all. We need to keep coming to God and trusting in God. And I appreciate Andrew sharing that bit of a testimony. Well, this morning, we're talking about throwing your nets again and continuing to fish. And we see this in this passage. And so Jesus gives the word to go into the deeper water and to let down your nets. And the word of the Lord was, you will catch many fish. And Simon replied, we worked hard all night, didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, we'll try again. And I know we just read this, but I want to just pause on this point again. Whatever prayer, burden, need that's in your life, in your family, don't quit trusting and believing God for it. You may have been, it may feel like it's all night and nothing's happened. It may seem like it's 10 years or 20 years. Andrew just turned 30 years old, my son. I'm not going to stop believing and praying and praising God for my son's healing. I've had people tell me, now, Pastor, when are you going to deal with reality? When are you going to accept things as they are? I will not accept things as they are when they're contrary to God's word. I will continue to speak God's word, stand on God's word, and expect God's word to be fulfilled. And so I believe we have a lot of weary fishermen and fisher ladies who have trusted God, believe God, and you have some situations that still haven't turned around. And the enemy would love for you to sit down and give up. But I want to encourage you to allow your faith to be strengthened this morning and listen to what God is saying. I believe you will hear the Father say, throw your nets again, pray again, praise again, believe again, stand up again, and do not be discouraged, and stand in faith. And so we see the disciples, they actually receive the word, Master, even though we worked hard, didn't catch a thing, if you say so, we'll try again. If it's in the word, God has said it, and we need to just receive it and believe it. And so they make their statement, this is our position. And I know in that they're saying, we're tired, we're exhausted, and we've just sat with you through your message, which they did. We're not complaining about. But this time, they said, we'll do it again. We'll cast the net out again. And this time, their nets were so full that they began to tear. Their nets are breaking. And they shouted, a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon, both of their boats, they're calling for their friends to come and help them. And this is a beautiful story. I believe this is a revival in the church when God begins to bless us and we begin to build relationships with one another, saying, we're not able to contain all of the lives that are coming to the Lord. And this, of course, is about fish. So they were not able to handle all the fish. Their boats are filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Have any of you ever watched any of those Alaskan fishing programs where they are, you know, it's dangerous and they're out there and you see the waves crashing on the boats and they're trying to catch fish or crab or whatever they're going after. And I see that, but I've never heard of one having caught so many fish that the boat went down because of the fish. I've never been on a fishing trip where we caught so many fish that the boat was going under. And so you need to get a picture of God's ability to provide for you. I believe that we need to say, God, what is your vision in this situation? Again, what do you want me to do? And what are you saying to me to say? And to say that. And so the boat is full. Their friend's boat is full. And their nets are being torn. And a shout for help brought their partners. They came. Both boats were filled on the verge of sinking. And when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner. I'm an ungodly man, he's saying, to be around you. For he was awestruck by what? Verse 9. What really shook Peter up? The size of the catch. God showed off. And to the fishermen, the bigger the catch, the bigger the pay. The bigger the catch, the more income. This was a huge thing for these fishermen. And so the size of the catch was so great. Peter is struck by the fact that he's an unrighteous man, and yet God has blessed him in this kind of a way. But then look at the rest of this story. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid, Simon. Now, what was Simon talking about? His sinfulness, right? Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't look back. But from now on, you will be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, this is pretty powerful. As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. They left it all. Now, you have to understand something. Jesus didn't tell them to sell their boats, and they didn't. Jesus didn't ask them to give away all the fish. Far as I know, they probably sold the fish at the market just like they had been doing. Jesus did not have a problem with the disciples having a massive catch of fish and a huge payday. No problem with that. Jesus didn't have a problem with them owning the boats, liking to fish, enjoying fishing. And so we see that they were touched of God, they're called of God, they have a call on their life, and they were able to walk away from that as being their primary first place of employment, and they become full-time followers of Jesus Christ. Now, we know they have their boats because later they go back fishing. And they may have had a team that they were managing that were fishing the whole time. And if you go to Israel and you say, I want to see Peter's house, they're going to take you to Capernaum. And they're going to show you close to the Sea of Galilee, the foundation of a house that they believe that in excavating they found that indeed is Peter's house. And it's not a small house. It's a big octagon sort of a thing that is there. And, of course, the temple was real close that was in that community as well. But you go there and you look at that and you go, well, this guy had a pretty big house in the neighborhood. It would be a fairly good-sized house today. And I don't see any word that Jesus gave to them. You need to sell your house And, you know, talking about the rich young ruler, because none of those things owned them. They were fully sold out to God. And I know that if God can get you and me to fully sell out to Him, to follow Him, then the stuff that's in our life is not going to be an issue. It will become tools that serve in the kingdom of God and are a blessing to our families. Now, there's another fishing trip I want to take you to, and it's toward the end of the ministry that Jesus has with His disciples, and it is found in John chapter 21. In John 21, verse 6, well, maybe I'll just start with verse 1. I kind of like all of it. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. And Simon Peter said, what did he say? I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they all went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. Sort of sounds like the first story, doesn't it? Fished all night. As the sun is coming up in the morning at dawn, the disciples saw Jesus standing on the beach. Of course, they didn't know who it was. But Jesus called out to them, friends, have you caught any fish? I think the King James says, have you any meat? Which actually indicates, did you catch anything worth eating? Did you bring anything home with you? And the report is, no, we didn't catch anything that was of value. No, we don't have anything. We fished all night. Then Jesus said to them, throw out your net on the right side of the boat, the right-hand side of the boat, and you will get plenty of fish. So they did that. The disciples learned something from fishing with Jesus. It wasn't just fishing, it was catching. And they like that. I like that myself. If I go fishing, I'd like to do some catching. But so they did. They couldn't draw in the net. They threw the net out on the right side, and they got plenty of fish. So they did. They couldn't draw the net in because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is who? Say John. You know that. It's John. John said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he'd stripped for work, jumped into the water, swam ashore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only out about 300 feet. And when they got there, they saw that a charcoal fire was burning and fish were frying over it, and there was bread. You ever wonder where that fish came from? We don't have any record of Jesus having a fishing pole out there or a net out there himself. Not sure how those fish showed up, but Jesus had them, and he's cooking breakfast, but he needed a few more fish, and so he said, bring some of the fish you've just caught. And Jesus said that, so Simon Peter went aboard, dragged the net to the shore, and isn't it interesting, the exact number of fish is included. 153, what kind of fish? Large fish, and yet I was thinking about those big tunas on those tuna programs when you see them bringing in 600 pounds. Well, they don't have tunas in the lake like that. But I was thinking about that the number is there to emphasize to those who lived in the Galilee, they knew that 153 large fish was an unheard of catch. And so the net had not torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. No one dared to ask him if he really was the Lord because they were sure of it. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. And this was the third time Jesus had appeared to the disciples. After breakfast is when we have this conversation between Jesus and Peter. And you remember it. Peter denied the Lord three times, didn't he? And here we know three different times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me, Simon, son of John? Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And of course, the admonition was, then feed my sheep. Well, how many like to go fishing with Jesus? Tell you what, we'd fill the boats. We would have people standing in line saying, we want to go out where we can go fishing like that. That's the way I want to go fishing. Last Sunday, I just touched on some things, and I'm just going to touch on them again this morning. And these are some points that God has been just repeatedly speaking into my life. And the first is about doing again what you know God is calling you to do. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Turn to someone and just tell them, don't be discouraged. Trust God and believe Him. Believe Him again. How do you know if you believe Him? You drop the nets again. You go fishing again. You pray again. You believe again. Life is not over. And this is what the Lord was talking to me several weeks ago, and this was on my heart. That God is right now, I believe in our family, in this congregation, looking to deepen our faith and strengthen our faith and stretch our faith. And all of that is going to happen through believing God again, stretching your faith, standing, and dig again, go fishing again. And I just sense the Lord was saying, I'm calling upon you. And I sense it was not a call just to me. It is a call to me because I've been in prayer over the development of our property. And it's been a burden on my heart, a heavy burden that has grown over the last several months. And I really believe that we're facing strong demonic opposition and we must stand and we must press through. But what I sense the Lord is saying to me is that this is demonic. But it's not just for the church at large. I believe in each of our lives and our families that we are facing a whole new level of demonic opposition. I believe that you may see and experience some victories that you've never experienced in your whole life. Some things you've read about, you believe for, you've heard about other revivals. There's some things that you've heard testimonies about. And you've had a measure of faith inside of you, and you've prayed, you believe God, but do not be discouraged by the demonic manifestation. And do not be shocked if the demonic manifestation is visible and in the natural. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. And you need to know that greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. And I believe that we are seeing an increase globally of demonic work and activation. And the church must not be afraid or discouraged to face the enemy.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.